Rod's Pulse Podcast number 17, Podcasting News, EdTech Talk Promo, and iTunes U Update. Hi, I'm Rod Murray, and this is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back to another podcast. That's just a little teaser. Learn more about this treat that I'll be playing for you at the end of my podcast. First, today, an announcement and some podcasting news. Blackboard Backpack. You may have heard of this. If you're at Jefferson, it's coming your way very shortly. It's a very cool new feature that allows Blackboard users to download their course and organization content to their laptop so they can study and work offline. And then the next time they hook up their laptop to their internet connection, they'll automatically be synced with our Blackboard system. So look for some announcements coming very shortly here at Jefferson. The URL is backpack.blackboard.com if you want to learn some more. You do have to purchase a client software that runs on your laptop PC. I think it's about $49, so it's not bad. Students who use laptops a lot, I think, might really like to have this capability. The next piece of news I want to talk to you about is not a podcast, but it's a blog that I discovered not too long ago. It's called Learning Now. It's actually spelled learning.now. And, quote, it's a weblog that explores how new technology and internet culture affect how educators teach and students learn. It will offer a continuing look at how new technologies such as wikis, blogs, vlogs, RSS, podcasts, social networking sites, and the always-on culture of the internet are impacting teacher and students' lives both inside and outside of the classroom. I've talked about some of these technologies. I don't know if I've called video podcasts vlogs, but that's another term that's come up. Vlog or vlog is a video blog, or sometimes known as a vodcast or a video podcast. Anyway, it's a very interesting site that's going to cover all this technology. Right now, it's a blog. It's not a podcast. It comes from pbs.org. You'll see the full URL on my website, on the show notes. The next bit of news I thought was interesting is that here's a college that uses iTunes downloads as a recruiting incentive. St. Joseph College, it's Connecticut's only four-year women's college, offers target high school juniors in the northeastern U.S. three free iTunes music downloads in exchange for registering on the school's admissions website. So the offer is included in a letter to the prospects, which gives them a special code for accessing the downloads. I'll have a link to the full article on my show notes. The next one is a podcasting success story. American University's Washington College of Law introduced podcasts with the arrival of the 2005 class. So after a year of podcasting, the college considers the program a success. To date, they have more than 200 episodes that have been created, and they've been downloaded almost 65,000 times. So you can read more about that on the URL. Also, I just heard that Windows Media Player 11 is out. Now, this, of course, is Microsoft's answer to iTunes. You can purchase music there, but unfortunately, the new MIDI Player 11 does not support podcasting. Microsoft, not surprisingly, I guess, prefers to deal with large media companies, and they have not included native podcasting support in their Windows Media Player. An update on iTunes U is my main topic for today. Some may remember I introduced iTunes U in RPP number 3, where I mentioned some of the pros and cons. First, the pros. It's free, and I think that's a biggie. At least it's free for now. Apple is guaranteeing that it'll be free for universities until 2007. That's coming up real soon. But they have stated that they anticipate it will continue to be free thereafter. We shall see. Now, if you recall, this is a service which allows universities to host their content on Apple servers and still be able to have controlled access. So if universities want to require a login and password, they could still do that and host the content on the Apple server. The advantages that most students now are familiar with iTunes, and it would be an easy step for them to be able to subscribe and download and sync up the pod classes to their iPod or other player. Actually, mostly just iPods. As also, another advantage for the university is that as an iTunes affiliate, a school can earn a 5% commission on revenue generated by links posted on the school's iTunes U site. Another advantage is, I suppose, that it doesn't support DRM, which is digital rights management. But now the cons, and I think they are pretty significant. One gripe is that it's still a proprietary solution. Now, podcasting is based on open, vendor-neutral standards, such as MP3 files, HTTP, RSS. However, with iTunes U, only iTunes client software can download these iTunes U pod classes. That's not to say you can't listen to them on a PC. Now, on a PC, you have to install iTunes in QuickTime. I guess that's not a big deal. But for syncing to an MP3 player, only the iPod is supported on iTunes and iTunes U. Now, iPods are definitely in the majority, but there's still a lot of non-iPod MP3 players in the world. And that brings me to a news article I noted recently where it talked about Apple's music player market share. iPod and the iPod Mini have an 82% market share among hard drive-based portable music players. Now, these are the kind of players that are a little pricey. They have hard drives in them, which mean they can store multi-gigabytes of content, and these would be most likely the ones students would use if they were going to play a lot of podcasts. And if you look at, however, all types of portable music players, in other words, the hard drive-based ones plus the solid-state memory-based ones, Apple market share is down to about 42%. But that's still pretty significant. That data came from the market research firm NPG Group. And again, I'll have a link to the article on my show notes. So if university wants to satisfy the non-iPod users among the student audience, they may want to have an alternative website so that users can subscribe and sync up the files to their non-iPod MP3 players. This brings me to a second gripe that I have about iTunes. It makes it very hard to capture the URL. Now, let's say you listen to a podcast and you subscribe to it through iTunes, but it's very difficult to share the RSS feed URL and be able to send it to someone else. Now, you can go to iTunes and you can display the URL in iTunes, but you cannot copy and paste it. Now, one solution would be to, you can go to the file menu and click on Export Song List. This creates a very long, tab-delimited file of all of your podcast episodes. And the path to the original RSS feed is not there unless the creator decided to put that feed URL in the comments section. So that's a very good idea if you are planning on doing your own podcasts, and it's a practice that I'm going to have to start doing myself, is to make sure I put the feed URL in the comments area in the tags that accompany the MP3 files. So anyway, these are some proprietary limitations that I think some universities might say puts them in a bit of an awkward position. It partners them with Apple for good or good or bad. And despite all this, though, there are quite a few high-profile universities that are now using iTunes U. We have Brown, Stanford, the University of Michigan, Missouri School of Journalism, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Duke, and UC Berkeley, and other schools are beginning to sign up. In fact, I was hoping I would have some more information for you today on this, because I did send away for the application kit just to see what's involved for a university such as Jefferson to sign up. Not that any decision has been made in that area. Thought what I'd like to do now is just give you just a brief highlight of some of the universities that use iTunes U and how they've been received. Stanford was one of the first ones that promoted widely on the Apple websites and at Stanford. So the thing that Stanford has done recently is to extend to Stanford alumni and the public, free of charge, some of their content. So if you go to the public iTunes site for Stanford, you can download some faculty lectures, audio recordings from campus events, performances, book readings, news, sports coverage, and music. So that's how Stanford is making use of iTunes U. Now, here a quote from their site says that given the university's enormous repository of content and its active alumni population, that numbers close to 200,000 worldwide, this new communications and education medium has proven invaluable in keeping the Stanford community connected. So that certainly is a lofty goal, and one that's probably worthwhile for a university such as Jefferson. So it's something we should maybe consider. Anyway, another school that's been using iTunes U for a while is the University of Michigan, especially the School of Dentistry. And this goes back to a clever student who in 2004 decided there must be a better way to reinforce what he's heard in his lectures. So he collaborated with a member of the school's Office of Dental Informatics, and they completed three pilot studies with 60 dental students, and they compared their preferences for web-based content and content that could be played on an iPod. Not surprisingly, in fact, overwhelmingly, the students favored the flexibility and mobility of an iPod, the ease of use of downloading the content through iTunes U. So, as a result, September of last year, University of Michigan introduced iTunes U to the entire dental school, making it simple for students to access all of their classroom lectures. But apparently, it's still the students who use the recording equipment, which is interesting. They have to get the faculty members' permission to record a lecture. And to their knowledge, no faculty members ever said no to a student who wants to record it. So again, you can follow the link on my blog and find out more about how Michigan uses that. Duke University, another high-profile school, is touting iTunes U. Their course, French 76, is now one of 11 spring semester courses that is engaging in a pilot program with iTunes U. Once the content is loaded on their iPods, which takes just minutes, students then can watch video clips and listen to the voice and music at any time and anywhere they want. Again, you can learn more about that. There are a couple of other schools. Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine is starting to use iTunes U for certain departments, the music department, their Asian Studies department, and UC Berkeley. Now, UC Berkeley is fairly recent in its use of iTunes U, and they seem to have done one better in promoting the use of iTunes U. They've announced that Berkeley on iTunes U is available to the public as well as all Berkeley students. So you can go to itunes.berkeley.edu and you can try it for yourself. They're making all of their content publicly available. So that's interesting. I think they're following the footsteps of some other schools. I think MIT, for example, has made available a lot of their course syllabus and content, not necessarily the podcast, but It looks like these schools are really opening up the doors. So that, I think, concludes my update on iTunes U. I'm sure we'll be touching base on this again in the not-too-distant future. I'm particularly interested in getting feedback on this topic. So please answer the question. Would you and your school welcome the use of iTunes U on campus? What are your thoughts? Again, please leave me feedback on this. You can go to my blog and use the comment feature, or stay tuned for the end where I'll be giving you my phone number and email address. The promo I'd like to share with you during this episode is EdTech Talk. EdTech Talk is a community of educators interested in discussing and learning about the uses of educational technology. Now, they have a little bit of a different format. They're not a straight podcast. They host a webcast, several live shows each week. It must take a lot of their time. Now, during the shows, listeners can go into a chat room to make comments and to ask questions, and sometimes they allow call-ins using Skype. I've referred to Skype in one of my past podcasts. And after each show, they post a recording of the discussion as an MP3 file, which can be downloaded directly from the site. Or, of course, you can now subscribe to that MP3 file using an RSS feed. So they've turned their webcast into also a podcast. They also post a chat room transcript and a comment forum, so listeners can contribute to the discussion even after the show. Now, webcasts, of course, are synchronous learning opportunities. So making a podcast out of that is great, because then you can time shift your listening and use it as a podcast. So here's a bit from their first webcast / podcast. It was done in June 2005, and just to give you a flavor of how their podcasts sound.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, as the case may be, and welcome to EdTech Talk. Or the very first EdTech Talk, an experiment in live interactive webcasting. Today, our focus is going to be on framing the issues. What is educational technology? What are the different types of educational technology? And how are they being used in classrooms and learning experiences? And how can they be better used? And also, I hope to brainstorm ideas on how this medium of educational webcasting can be used to help people with different kinds of educational technology issues. We do hope to bring you many future EdTech Talks, some general like this, some interviews, some discussions, and any other kind of types of shows that people think would be useful. If you might be interested someday in hosting your own interactive webcasting experience, please do let us know. I am joined today by Dave Cormier.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Dave. I should first say I'm coming from the small town of Bow in the small state of New Hampshire in the large country of the USA. And Dave, where are you joining from?
I'm from Charlottetown, PEI, in the larger country of Canada.
Indeed. Can you tell us a little bit about what brings you to the world of educational technology?
Sure. I guess the thing that brought me to educational technology in the first place was the impossibility of the teaching situation I was in at the time. I was just looking for a simpler way to deal with 270 students and grading and marking and trying to find a way to automate it so that I could get all my work done and give the students the kind of support they needed and still not be working 15 hours a day. And sort of developed up from there.
EdTech Talk has now more than 40 podcasts, and they've covered a variety of EdTech topics, including interviews of movers and shakers in educational technology, coverage of the Podcast Academy, starting a wiki textbook, mobile webcasting, and Second Life. You'll be hearing more about Second Life, I'm sure, in the future. So please check out EdTech Talk. And now for some more PodSafe music. If you're still on your commute, I thought you might like to hear an entire track called Something About Eve from the album called Touch by the group called Falling You. So you could file this under Ethereal Ambient New Age Music. If you remember the song I played back in RPP number 12, which was called Stress by Jim's Big Ego, this is surely the antidote for stress. The group Falling You, quote, creates moving, emotive music that is best served when the moon is high, the atmosphere is serene, and the lights are out. So if you're driving right now, you want to turn this off now. You can purchase the full CD or MP3 files at magnatunes.com. Enjoy.
And I
That about does it for today's program. Thanks very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave me feedback. You can go to rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on my blog. You can send feedback to my email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send me audio feedback by calling into my comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.